I'm pregnant.
So pretty cool and sweet, sort of heartwarming story. And if you've ever looked at any of these, there are literally thousands of different ways that people have chosen to share the news about a baby or a gender reveal. But here's an idea for you. Maybe the next time you have a baby, maybe you could have an angel show up, right, and tell your family, or maybe even a heavenly host. And today, that's what we're going to see in Luke chapter 2, that God sends an angel, and he sends this multitude or heavenly host of angels to tell the story for the first time. And let's look it up and start in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. So we see here in the story, right? At the very beginning, Jesus is born, and as the news is going to, as we're going to see, going to be told, angels sort of take center stage. Before we get into the story, Miss Emily asked our kids this question: what do angels look like? And we had different ideas, and I think certainly in our culture, we have a lot of different ideas about an angels, and the idea of angels sort of intrigue us, doesn't it? What do they look like? Do they really wear white flowing outfits and wings, and do they have halos? Do they look like little babies with wings, you know? Hollywood produces movies that show angels typically as someone who has deceased coming back and trying to right some wrong or correct some injustice. And typically they're a little harried and maybe a little inept and usually portrayed kind of smoking and drinking. Have you ever seen a character like this in a movie? I think this was from Michael, right? And so we kind of get it mixed up. And truthfully, Hollywood rarely gets it right when it comes to the Bible. So I want to kind of take a minute here and show what the Bible does talk about when it comes to angels. First of all, angels are spiritual beings, which means that they're not made up of the same stuff physically that we're made out of. They're made up of spiritual matter. Now, it's real substance, but it's different than the physical substance that we have. And then typically, it's invisible. In the book of Ephesians, it says that there are things happening around us in the spiritual realm, right? All the time, things are happening. Now, angels can make themselves appear, and that's what we see in this story in Luke chapter 2 and throughout the Bible. Our human eyes can be given the ability to see them as they are, but they're personal beings capable of personal interaction both with God and with us. So the first thing the Bible teaches is that angels are spiritual beings. The second thing is angels are immortal beings. Now, what that means is that they are created by God, but they will live forever, meaning they will never cease to exist in the spirit realm. In the same way that we are created and we have a beginning, and our souls will exist into eternity. Now, that's different than God, who is eternal, which means that he lives in all time at all times. He has always existed, he exists now, and he will forever exist. And if you think of the timeline of eternity as kind of this line that goes forever in both directions, God lives in all of that at all times. We have a beginning, but we'll have no end in our souls. Same thing with angels. They're immortal beings. God, though, is eternal, has always and does always and will always exist. The third thing the Bible teaches is that angels are powerful beings. Though angels are not all-powerful like God is, they do have great power when acting in specifically in the physical universe. They're referred to as dominions and rulers and authorities and powers in Ephesians chapter 1. They are mighty in strength the psalmist says, and they are greater in might and power than humans, the apostle Peter says. And they appear from time to time throughout the Bible narrative. Throughout the story of the Bible, angels appear. And while not always destructive, they are anything but inept. King David saw an angel with a drawn sword stretched out over the city of Jerusalem in 1 Chronicles. An angel sent from the Lord went into battle and defeated the enemy of the Assyrians in Isaiah chapter 37. An angel assisted Elijah in 1 Kings, and it was an angel who shut the mouths of the lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. See, the Bible clearly describes angels as magnificent, powerful, spiritual beings. So it's no wonder that when an angel appears, as one does in the story of Jesus' birth, to a human, the response of the human is what? Fear. Let's pick it up again in verse 8 and 9 now. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel, and let me just interject, an angel which is a magnificent, powerful, spiritual being, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they, the shepherds, they were terrified. So Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and God announces the news first. Right, his announcement first goes to some working class shepherds, and their response to seeing the angel was, they're terrified. You ever had some news that you couldn't wait to tell someone? Maybe it was that you were expecting. That's great news to have, and I'm sure that many of you shared that with your friends and family, and maybe even are on YouTube today, showing your family in some creative way. Maybe for the kids in the room today, it was a new toy like we talked about earlier. You're excited, you get this toy, first thing you want to do is call your cousin, call your neighbor, go play with it outside with some of your friends. Or maybe for the kids in the room today, maybe it was the fact that you scored a goal or hit a home run in your latest baseball or soccer game. Maybe for us, it was a promotion, or for our students, an A on a particular test. When we have good news, we like to share that good news, don't we? You think God was so excited that he just had to tell someone? That's kind of what I think. Whatever the case, an angel appears to some shepherds who are working overnight near Bethlehem, and here we see God's light shows up in the story. Verse 9 says, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This month of December, we have kind of been leaning in on this idea that God spoke light into existence, and he is light, and the light of the world, Jesus, came in the person and work of Jesus. And so God is described in 1 John as light, and that in him there is no darkness at all. So when the Bible says that God's glory, his essence, shown around the angels, there was this light, right? So to start this party, this birth announcement, this gender reveal party, God does this amazing light show with the angels. Imagine working outside at night, and all of a sudden this light explosion happens and takes over the night. And in the midst of this light, there appears an angel. You think that got the attention of the shepherds? I think it did. You think God had their full attention? He wanted that because he had some great news to share. And while he had their attention, he makes this announcement. Look at verse 10. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. First thing he says is, hey, look, I know I'm an angel. I know I'm terrifying. I know I'm this powerful spiritual being, magnificent being. But listen, I've got some news. Don't be afraid. This time I bring you two things. Good news that will bring great joy. That word in the Greek for good news is the word evangelizo. And it means to announce news, especially the gospel or the good news about Jesus, to declare or to bring glad or good tidings or to preach the gospel. And this is where we get the word, the English word, evangelize, right? So when we talk about evangelism, we're simply talking about sharing the good news about Jesus, and it goes all the way back to the good news that the angel announced to the shepherds. Here's the thought. Maybe evangelism or sharing the good news of Jesus should be less like a chore and more like this really great party that the angels and the shepherds enjoyed that night. Because the angels said to the shepherds, I've got good news, right? This is something good that's going to happen, and it's going to cause great joy. That's the natural result of this good news is going to be joy, right? Deep-seated happiness and peace. Joy, the good news of Jesus coming to the world. Can you imagine the anticipation of the shepherds? First, they're confronted by an angel, surrounded by God's glory, and then told something that has happened that will be good news that will cause great joy. They had to be pretty excited. But you know, this news came into a world that was, as we've talked about in the last couple weeks, still full of darkness, still full of difficult times, in the same way that our world at times is difficult and dark. A guy named Sam Storm said this. He said, joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God, right? Jesus didn't come into a perfect world. Matter of fact, he came because the world wasn't perfect. He came into a world where there was difficulty, where there was suffering. There is still difficulty and suffering today in our world. I mean, how many of us know that to be true? Sometimes we forget that in this world there is and there are difficult days. Sometimes in the midst of our happiness, right? Even this season, we forget that others may be suffering. How can you have joy during difficult times? Remember that joy is not the absence of difficulty or suffering. It is the presence of God. How do you move forward when difficult days are on your horizon? Well, you rest in knowing who God is during those times. And that's the message that Jesus came to bring, right? That's the message that the angel announced. There's good news that's going to bring great joy. For who? For all the people. The message of Jesus' birth, it's not just for church people. It's good news for everyone, for all people. Martin Luther wrote a lot of hymns and poems, and I love this poem that I found this week. He wrote, good news from heaven the angels bring, glad tidings to the earth they sing. To us this day a child is given to crown us with the joy of heaven. See, God's joy, the joy of heaven, came into this world in the person and work of Jesus. Heaven's treasure now in the world, revealed first by angels to these shepherds. Look at verse 11. The angel goes on to say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So this party that God started with the angels and the shepherds continues with the news of a Messiah. This is the news that every Jew had been longing for generations. The news goes all the way back to the promise given to Abraham that flowed through Moses and continued through King David. A Savior now has been born. Now that's worth celebrating, right? And that's exactly what God does. He throws a party. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So at this point, the shepherds, you know, like their blood pressure had to be through the roof, right? They've seen an angel. They've seen the light, the glory of God around the angel. Now they see a multitude. The only thing scarier than one angel, that magnificent, powerful, spiritual being, is a whole army of angels, right? If one angel is terrifying, a heavenly host must have just undone the shepherds. And what do the angels do? They don't start a war. They don't go from house to house with destruction. They sing a song of praise to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What a party. And the message of this song and the sense of what's happening, the central theme of this song and this party is peace. Right here, who here could use a little peace right about now, right? couple days before Christmas. Kids are out of school. Lots of stuff going on. Things to bake. People coming over. You got guests to prepare for. You may be traveling. There may be family on the way, right? That's enough to stress anybody out. The central theme of Jesus' birth that the angels sing about is peace. It can be. This season and our lives here in a difficult world and where difficult things happen and suffering happens, it can be more stressful than peaceful. So the angels announce the birth of Jesus and the chorus resounds with peace. Verse 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the shepherds waste no time. They go from their fields watching their flocks. I assume they left the sheep there and then went directly to go find this baby that the angel had announced to them. And I guess when God sends an angel and a heavenly host, you leave your sheep and you go do whatever, right? You leave right then. And when they arrived, they found things just as the angel had told them. Mary and Joseph, far from their home in Nazareth, visited by these shepherds. See, God made sure that someone would come to celebrate with Mary and Joseph. And the shepherds were just in awe of everything that was happening. Not exactly what you expect for the debut of a king, right? For the coming out party or the announcement, birth announcement of the king. But God makes sure that someone's there, born in a stable to a young couple who are far from home and alone. Greeted first by shepherds, but God rarely does what's expected. You think the shepherds were excited? Look at verse 17. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What was the shepherds' response to this celebration? What was the shepherd's response to not only hearing this good news and experiencing this joy, but seeing this Christ child? Their response, they told everyone. So this was a party to remember. You know how we do when something cool happens? What do? We put it on Facebook. We talk about it with our friends and neighbors. We favorite it if we see it online. We YouTube it. It typically goes viral. Here's my favorite sort of viral Christmas video. I think this happened last year, but it's really getting popular this year. Maybe you've seen this one. If not, I'll tell you how to find it.
Where? You aren't actually. That's why you're on the naughty list.
I swear, trust me.
Well, that's why you're on the naughty list, because you're being naughty right now. So you're going to be on the naughty list if you keep talking like that.
No, because Father Christmas is not being very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
Actually.
You're not because you ain't being good.
I am on a good list. If you keep saying that word again and again and again, I'm not on naughty list.
Father Christmas rung me last night when I was at work, yes, and said, you better tell Jackson to start being a good boy or he's going to stay on the naughty list and he won't get no presents for Christmas. That's what he said to me. So you got to start being a good boy.
Then I'll do what I've got to him.
No, you won't do
it.
No, what?
I'm going to punch him. Off.
You're just silly, man.
They trust me. I'm not on bad list.
You're on the naughty list, mate.
No, I'm not.
Okay. If you need to find that and share it with your cousins and grandparents, Uppercut Santa, you can find it. Now, listen, I'm not an expert in these matters, but I feel pretty confident that if you threaten to uppercut Santa and punch his beard off, you're going to end up on a naughty list, right? I feel very confident in that. So I love this video. The other night, my girls showed it to me, and we watched it. We probably watched it a dozen times at dinner. I was crying. The girls were crying. Bonnie was crying because she felt bad for the kid. You know, like, that's kind of, she's more, I just thought it was fantastic. So, but think about this. Here's a great thing. Here's his dad who recognizes that he's got something golden, right? So not only does he videotape it, but somehow it gets out there and now becomes viral. It's all over the world. You see, when something amazing happens, even something funny, our tendency is to share it. And that's exactly what the shepherds do. Look at verse 17. When they had seen him, when they had seen this Christ child, when they had seen the Messiah, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And you know what everyone's response was? They were amazed. They were amazed. I remember when we found out that we were pregnant with our girls. Now, some of you may not know me, but the of the three young ladies that were singing up here, the two bookends were my girls. I have a couple extra daughters. That's not mine in the middle. But the two on the outside are our daughters. And I remember when we first found out that we were pregnant with twins, I mean, we were really excited. And at first, we were a little apprehensive to tell others. But as the days turned into weeks and the weeks a couple months, we couldn't help but tell everyone we knew. And you know their response? They were happy. Maybe not amazed like the people when the shepherds told them about the Messiah, but we were happy, our family were happy, our friends were happy for us. See, the shepherds were just out one night at work. In the still of the night, God appeared in the form of this angel and this heavenly host. His light, the glory of God, surrounded them, and he told them this good news that would bring great joy. See, here's my question for us this Christmas. Where might God be showing up in our lives today? Right? What unbelievable opportunities could he offer to us as believers, as a church family, as Christians in this world? You know, sometimes God shows up in the weirdest and wildest times, like September 2018. Hurricane Florence blew in here and it just devastated so many people, people in our church, people in our community. And this church got its feet under it and went out and tried to help as many people as we could. Sort of an unexpected thing. We had an opportunity to share the good news and joy, even in the midst of a bad situation in our community. And we've spent the last 15 months or so helping with rebuilding. You know, this church, through some different organizations and other churches around and this church itself, we raised about $400,000. And we spent all of that in our community. We had two different organizations or two different sort of avenues that we were doing that. We're spending that through a group called Sharing Hope, who set up shop here for about 6 months. Bill and Cindy Toner came here, and they did amazing work. Another guy left his business up in Northern Virginia, Greg Giesen, who's still here working today. His family, his livelihood sort of on hold so that he could help people and spend this money. Our goal is to get out of that business. We've got a little less than $100,000 left, but we just want to spend that wherever we can. You see, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering, God can show up. The question is, are we willing to take those opportunities to go and spread the good news so that someone might have joy? Let me just say as a sort of a side note, a little commercial, we're going to go and work with, we've committed to a week in March where we're going to go and work in another community in Ohio who had some tornadoes this past year and work with Bill and Cindy Toner for a week. And if you'd like to go, start thinking about taking a week off and going with it. It's not going to cost us a lot of money. It's going to be a chance for about 15. We need about 15 people who can do some stuff. Then I'll go just to kind of, you know, take pictures. And, you know, if you find me actually hitting a nail with a hammer, you take a picture of that and send it home and I'll act like I was doing something. But we'd love to go and bless somebody else. Why? Because we know what it felt like in our community. So there's an opportunity for us to continue to spread joy to other people. How unexpected was this news to the shepherds just at work one day? And God said, here it is. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story that we want to live out in our lives every day. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for this week, for this moment, for this time in our lives that we get to celebrate Christmas together as families and as a church family. And Lord, help us to just remember that it's really about this good news that that the angel told first to these shepherds that brought great joy. A party started, and the angel sang that there would be peace on earth. And Lord, when these shepherds heard that news, they could do nothing. They could not contain themselves. They had to tell someone else. Lord, let that be our heartbeat this Christmas. That we've experienced the good news and joy of knowing Christ in our lives. Lord, give us the courage to share that good news with someone else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.